first of it. You're talking about singing, made me. I can remember when our Lord, after they left that upper room and just celebrated the Passover at the Lord's table, said they sung a hymn. Can you imagine that? I wonder what he heard, what he sung. He honored the Father and honored himself. What a great God. What a great God. If you would turn with me in your Bible to Nehemiah, will we be looking in Nehemiah chapter 4, but I want to read a passage from the book of Ephesians to begin with. Ephesians chapter 6. That's not what we looked in Nehemiah 1 verse 7. He says, we have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which you commanded thy servant Moses. So here we have in the book of Ephesians one of his statutes and one of his judgments given to his church. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's what we saw Nehemiah do last night. Praying for the saints of God. Praying that God would bless them and preserve them and keep them. And then he says, verse 19, and for me. And for me. The utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery. That's the gospel. That's what we need this morning. That God would open his word and make known unto us the mystery of the gospel. Now turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. We saw last night that God raised up a man named Nehemiah to come seek the welfare for the children of Israel who were in great distress. Jerusalem was in a mess. The walls had been torn down, and they'd been like that for years. And I think people had just become accustomed to it. It's like you see it long enough, you don't even see it. It doesn't bother you. And now God had stirred Nehemiah's heart to go to Jerusalem, and he has letters from the king to come, and he's going to rebuild those walls. And he's stirring up the people, encouraging the people, and strengthening them. We've got a work that needs to be done. And what we're going to look at today in this chapter, it records that work. And what they did in that work, and the opposition that came from that work. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So verse 1 of chapter 4, but it came to pass. Notice in the scriptures how many times that, and it came to pass, and it always will. It came to pass, and when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, He was wroth. He was very angry. The enemy doesn't like it. When they heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Just mocked them. Here's how he mocked them. He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews?" Basically, who do they think they are? Who do they think they are? Well, I can tell you who they are. I think it's in Zechariah. Let me find it. Where it talks about the people that were there in Jerusalem. Here it is. Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 8. When the Chaldeans came in and they destroyed these walls, it said, and the Chaldeans, Jeremiah 39, verse 8, and the Chaldeans burned the king's houses and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. But Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, left the poor of the people, which had nothing. And the land of Judah, and they gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Who was there? The poor. Who is the gospel preached to? The poor. The poor in spirit. Those who have nothing. And that's who we're hearing, they're mocking them. You bunch of feeble Jews. Will they fortify themselves? Will they think they can build them a wall and fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Everything they say, everything they use in mockery is going to come to pass. They're going to sacrifice and worship their God. And I want you to see this next statement. Will they revive the stones out of the heat of the rubbish which are burned? That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to do what? Revive the stones. They're not going to go get new stones. They're going to revive the stones. Where did these stones come from? Well, when Solomon built the temple, they had those stones made. And they were made in a rock quarry, and they were every one made exactly where they were supposed to fit into the wall. You heard no chisel, no hammer while the temple was being built. Where are those stones at? They're there under the rubbish. The problem is you can't see them for the rubbish. And they said, are they going to revive these stones? Are they going to bring these stones from the dead? That's what life is. That's a picture of salvation. So God revives the stones from nothing. Will they revive the stones from the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? In our heart, what's wrong? Rubbish. Everywhere you look, it's rubbish. You know what rubbish is? It's just trash. It's just stuff. And to revive the stones, you have to work through the rubbish. You ever try to talk to someone about the Lord? And they got all these things, all this stuff that's in their mind for years. They've been taught, you know what that is? That's just rubbish. Rubbish. Verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up on their little wall, he shall break down their stone wall. Even if they do build, it won't last. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It'll last. If God builds something, it'll last. It'll last for all eternity. It sure will. So what does Nehemiah do? And they're standing there mocking. Basically, he ignores them and goes to his God in prayer. And that's what we should do. Somebody said, if you ever get in a spitting contest with a skunk, you may win, but you'll still come out smelling like a skunk. He said, hear, O our God, for we are despised. And turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Now, a lot of people try to explain away this verse, and I'm just going to leave it to you, leave it at that. And he said, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked, you know what they're doing? You think about this. They think they're mocking God's people. But they're provoking God to anger. You know what just provokes somebody? Just keep hitting them. Just I dare you to do something. I dare you to do something. Just provoking them. You want to provoke God? He said they provoke God to anger. They provoke. There comes a day, and that's enough. And I can tell you right now, there's going to be a day coming up, and that's enough. They provoked thee to anger before the builders. So what did he do? We built the wall. He didn't change. Nothing's changed. He's come there to build the wall. What are we going to do? We're going to build the wall. But let me show you something. Just keep this in mind as we go through this chapter. Everything serves God's purpose. Everything. The old man serves the new man. And this world serves our God and it serves us. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Now we just read that. How much rubbish had to be moved? How many stones had to be revived? They built half the wall. You know how big this wall was? Let me just find my note and I'll tell you. It was 4.5 square miles, 960 acres, 2.5 meters thick, and 40 feet high. They built it. Half the wall. Yeah, you know why? It's healthy. They had a mind to work. They had a mind, they had a heart to work. It's work. But look, and you go, he was a draftsman, and he run mill steel and things like that. I used to work in wood. I used to love it. I still would take a raw piece of wood, and Paul does, take an old raw piece of wood, and you shape it, and you sand it, and you fashion it, and you make it into something. Can you imagine when I stood back? Man, look at that. Half the walls built. Not one man. They all worked together because they had a mind to work. So you see this. So what is the enemy doing? They first tried to mock and make fun, but in verse 7 it says, but it came to pass that when Sambalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, when they heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then were they very wrong. They were bad. Now they're even madder. Basically what they're saying, we're not going to stand by and let this go on. Children, can I tell you a little secret? We're in a warfare. It's not only from without, it is within. And the Satan wants to just get up all day just battling, just fighting, just fighting. If you're just fighting, you're never going to build anything. And that's what we're going to see. And it made the enemy mad. Thank goodness it makes the enemy mad. I hope it makes him mad. God's on the throne. Let me remind him again, God's on the throne. They can't stand it. They can't stand it. When our Lord came and there were people that were possessed, they said, did you come to torment us before the time? They were very wroth. And so what did they do? They conspired, manipulated. We're not ignorant of his devices. They conspired, all of them together. It says they gathered together against the Christ, didn't they? Who did? The Romans, the Jews, everybody gathered together against them. And they said, we're going to stop this. We're going to hinder the work. We just want to hinder it. How are we going to stop? We're just going to conspire. Here, let me hinder it. You remember when I made mention last night when the servant went down to get Isaac a bride. He goes in. And if you'll notice when you read that story, when he sees her down there and she draws all the water for him and for all the camels, he never speaks a word to her. He doesn't speak the gospel to her until she gets back in the house. But before he tells his message, they want him to do something. They said, let's sit down and eat. He said, I didn't come here to eat. I didn't come here to eat. I've got an errand. And he told them the gospel. He told them why he came. Told them about Abraham. Told them about Isaac. Then she hears, oh, that's why he came. Oh, that's why I brought that water. But then the next day, he gets up and he got ready. We're going back. I've come done my errand. This is the work I came to do. We're going back home. And the family said, well, just let her stay a few days. You know what? It ain't that they want her to stay a few days. They want to talk her out of it. And they said, don't you hinder me. Don't you hinder me. I come to get her. Well, let's ask her if she wants to go or not. And they called her and they said, Rebecca, will you go with this man? She said, I'm going. Don't you hinder me. Here's what our Lord said. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. Let's hinder them. You don't want to go in, but we don't want anybody else to go in. We're not going down there to hear the gospel, and we don't want nobody else to go hear it either. We're going to hinder it. What is Nehemiah knew? Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. And we set a watch against them day and night against them. You know what a preacher of the gospel is? He's a watchman on the wall. Isn't that amazing? What's he looking for? He's looking for danger. And you know what his responsibility is? He blows the trumpet. He says, now watch out, children. Say, danger coming. If they're going to come in, they're going to try to hinder it. And listen to me, they will try to hinder it. Don't think that they can. Don't think that they won't try. They will. And how did they do this? Very subtle. Don't you notice the next sentence? And Judah. Now who's Judah? The lion tribe. The lion of the tribe of Judah. None of us are exempt from this. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed. They're just worn out. It's just so hard. Do you ever get worn out? Do you ever get physically worn out? Do you ever get spiritually worn out? He said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there's so much rubbish. Well, we knew that when we started, didn't we? But you know what I'm saying? Well, maybe there is just so much rubbish. I really just don't feel like going to church today. You felt that one? Let's just be honest. And so that's Judah said, well, it's just too much rubbish. It's just too much trouble. It's too much rubbish. And we're not able. Well, I know we're not able. We're not able to build the wall. You ever been around somebody just so negative? You know, first thing you know, you're negative. Well, I'm just saying, yeah, we are. Well, if you're having trouble with your hip, having trouble with the knees, and as we get older, we have trouble. And we have spiritual things. That's life. And our adversary, verse 11, said, they shall not know, and they won't see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and we're going to cause the word. We're not only going to hinder it, we're going to cause it to cease. We're going to slip in among them. It's not only just something coming in, it's something in here. Can I remind you of something? If you don't get anything else out of this one, you get this, the enemy's right in here. You're looking at him. When you look in the mirror, that's him. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's it. We have to recognize him and say, and he never improves. You know what he is? He's lazy. He's slothful. He's neglectful. Now, he's wanting to make the mess. I heard Joe Terrell give a good illustration one time. He said, it's like you got two men living in one complex. The old man, he wants to go out and just throw trash all over the yard. He wants to turn the radio up real loud all night long so he can't even sleep. And you get mad about it. He ain't going to change. He just does it that much worse. and just laughs at you. That's what Ishmael did to Isaac. He mocked you, didn't he? He said, you ain't gonna sleep. I ain't gonna let you. It came to pass, in verse 12, when the Jews dwelt by them, that they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence you shall return, to us they shall be upon you. Therefore set I, what's this, verse 13, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and in the higher places I even set the people after, you see those next 2 words? After their families. After their families, and their swords, and their spears, and their bows. And I looked, and I rose up, and I said to the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Like you said last night, we don't have anything to be afraid of. What in the world do you have to be afraid of? Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. This is not just about you. It's about somebody else. And for your sons, and for your daughters, and for your wives, and for your homes. That's the battle. Sandy's son is, his wife has lived with us since last July. He may hear this, if he does, that's fine. They are just as, probably as liberal as you could have ever imagined. And it's different when you see it and hear it somewhere else, but when you see it standing in your own home, a man says, I don't even believe in God, and says, why don't he just strike me dead? You know, things like this. You know, that's hard to deal with. But he needs God. Thank God he saved me. You know what Abraham said about Ishmael? I wish he would walk before the Lord. Never give up praying for him. Fight for your family. Not only your physical family, your spiritual family. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with them. We're all in this together. That's what he's saying. Remember the Lord. Fight for your family. And it came to pass when our enemies, verse 15, heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught. And what David said about when did Ahimelech bring his counsel to naught? Who's God's counsel is going to stand? Their counsel is, well, we're going to stop this enough. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. He makes it known. How does he make it known? Well, he makes it known through his word. Walk in the light of his word. Then we returned, all of us, to the wall. So that makes me think they must have left it. They returned, every man, every one of us, all of us, to the work, to the wall, everyone to his work. You know God saved you for a purpose. And God saved you for a reason. He saved you for a purpose to bring honor and glory to His name. But when He saved you, He put you in the body of Christ. You may be just a little toe. You can't see my toe because it's inside my shoe. But can the hand say to the toe, I have no need of thee? Every member in that body has a function. Every member. And every one of us return to his work. What is your work? Returned everyone to his work. God, right now in my life, he's given me a work in Millsite in Cottonsville, West Virginia. That's my work. And that girl right there, her job is to help take care of me. That's her work. I'm so glad she goes with me. We know how we're going to get to
what's his name's house this season? John and Irene. How are we going to get to the house? I'll get the GPS. Because my wife just wrote down the address, and it's Go Places with Sandy. That's GPS. But I don't think if I didn't go with her, I can't find my way around. I don't know how that phone works. I just said, Sandy, just punch it in. And she said, well, we're going to go down here, and we're going to take a ride. We're going down here and take a look. You said, that don't mean a whole lot. That means a lot to me. And the thing about Doris, hanging with that man all these years, that was her work. And we're going to be here till our work is done. And it came to pass. From that time forth, that the half of my servants were all in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear and the shield and the bow. So what's he saying? It's hard for a man, some of y'all don't know what a trowel is. Now a trowel is, if you're laying brick or rock, you take a trowel and you put mortar on it, and you take that mortar and put plenty of brick. You got a trowel in this hand. But if you're standing there troweling brick, how you going to fight off the enemy? What he's saying is, one man standing there working, putting that bill fixing the stone, and that man standing there watching him. That man standing there protecting him. You may not can stand and preach, but while that man speaks, you say, Lord, give him more tonight. You see him struggling, say, God, help him. Lord, he made loud. And they wrought in the work. And the rulers were behind all the houses of Judah. In verse 17, they which built on the wall, built it on the wall, and they which bear the burdens, and those that laid it, every one with his one hand brought in the work, and then the other had a weapon. Some of you may have seen Spurgeon's, I think it was a newsletter or something he had, and you know what the name of it was? The Sword and the Trowel. I forgot this. They worked, they labored, and they watched. And they all walked together on this wall. Where the builders, every one with his sword girded by his side, the sword of the Spirit, so builded, and he that founded the company was by me. And I said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. It's several hours from here to Cottageville. It's about 2.5 hours from where we are to Katy. It's about 2 hours from us to where Crow, where Walter's at. It's about 2 hours from where we are to Hurricane Road. The work is large. That's the work. It's a long way from here to Mexico. The work is large. The work is great and large. And we're separated upon the wall. One far from another. I'm so thankful we have this time. Really, I miss it. This blesses my heart. And we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. And won't you see verse 20? In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet? You know what that is? That's the preaching of the glorious gospel. When you hear the sound of the trumpet. You know, Paul's having a conference. And the trumpet's going to be blown. And hear the sound of the trumpet. Resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight. Whose battle is it? It's his. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spear from the rising of the morning until the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that is in the night, that they may be guard unto us later on the day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saying that every one of them put them off for the wash. They didn't even change their clothes. They lay down and slept in them. That's what I'm saying. Something's more important. I've seen times I come home when I used to work for myself, I maybe didn't get home 11 o'clock. Well, I may have to be back out shop to 5. I may just sit in the chair and say, like, I got to be back down. Is this any less important? That's what he's saying.
I'll show you. We'll turn over to chapter 6. Verse 1, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershan and Raven and the rest of the our enemies heard that I builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gate, that Sanballat and Gershan went unto me saying, come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plains of Ornon. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work. And I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Why should the work cease? Yet they sent unto me four times. Well, maybe if we tell him again, maybe he'll come down. And he said, I answered them unto the same man. Did you not hear me the first time? I'm not coming down to you. I've got something more important. Anyway, saying, don't waste my time. Now, don't you see this, and we'll be close. Verse 15 and 16. So the wall was finished. 40 feet high. So big wide. Finished. What did they have? How did they finish it? Well, they removed the rubbish, revived the stones, had the heaps of the rubbish, and put them exactly where them stones need to go. And it's finished. It's what? It's finished. What finished mean? That means finished. It means it's done. It means it's complete. It means that there's nothing left to be done. It's done. How long did it take them? 53 days. Less than a month and a half. A little over a month and a half. You say, oh, that's impossible. That which is impossible with men is possible with God. From the day our Lord was buried, or the resurrection, till Pentecost. You know how many days that is? That's 50 days. You know what happened in 50 days? What happened? Our Lord said it's finished. 50 days later, Peter stands and preaches and blows the trumpet, and God saves 3,000 souls. Or did he revive the stones and the heaps of the rubbish? And it came to pass, verse 16, it came to pass that when all the enemies heard thereof, oh yeah, they hear about it. And all the heathen that were round about, they saw these things, they saw it. They could ever see it. They were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. And that's what we want. Who gets the glory? He does. And even the enemy give him the glory. God help us to labor on the Lord for his glory and his honor. Amen.
I perceive that that message was of God. The Lord used, that was no cunning.